And now let's hear that scripture lesson that I talked about earlier with the children. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, and this is from the NRSV. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Alexander Graham Bell really gave us a new technology for an old process of making a call. See, for generations, for millennia, almost from the beginning of human communication, we have called to one another in one form or another. I grew up in a little town along the Ohio River, Maysville, Kentucky. And one of the things that was remarkable about that little community was on the first Monday of every October, they still observed Mason County Court Day. Now, the story and the tradition of Court Day goes back a long ways, but as I was growing up in Maysville, it was still observed. Folks would come into town, they would sell their wares, there'd be bartering and trading going on, and there were also contests. And one contest in particular that I remember was the hollering contest. And I don't remember the criteria. I don't remember if you were judged on how loud you hollered, who had the most creative holler. I don't remember the criteria. I don't remember what it took to actually win the contest. But I remember the hollering contest. And the hollering contest had a very practical purpose. See, because there was a time that in order for us to communicate information to one another, if I was on one ridge and I needed to share information with you on another ridge, I would holler. I guess that's maybe why they call those spaces in between the ridges hollers. But we hollered at each other to communicate, to get someone's attention, to make a call, to call to one another. Alexander Graham Bell just gave us a new technology for that, because what do you do with your phone? You make a call. You say things like, "Give me a call sometime." And you know how it goes. Your phone rings, or it makes some attention-grabbing sound, and you choose, if you hear it, whether to ignore it or to respond. Now, I'm sure some of us might remember the day when the phone would ring and you had no idea who it was that was calling. Yes, there was a day when that was true, that when the phone rang, the only way for you to know who was on the other end, who it was that was calling, was to actually pick up the phone and say, "Hello?" And always with that question mark at the end. Call always has a choice attached to it. We receive calls, and we choose how to respond. And yes, ignoring a call is a response. We talk about being on call, ready not only to receive a call, but also to respond, to spring into action. That's what call is. Somebody or something gets your attention. Somebody calls your name, some event happens, and you respond. It's call and response. Scripture, the stories of our faith, is filled with stories of call and response, like the one we have this morning from Matthew. In working in regional ministry, I work a lot with call. I talk with people who are discerning their call, what their ministry might be. I work in a process called search and call, much like I'm working with the search committee there at Hazelwood Christian Church. We're trying to learn how someone is called. We're trying to understand how we're called. Are we called to serve together in ministry? Search and call. We talk about people being called to ministry. And we have this tendency, I think, to relate that to the more dramatic call stories, like Isaiah in chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lofty, and his presence filled the temple. And Isaiah says, I am a dead man. I am toast, for I have seen the Lord. Moses, who had to turn aside and see this curious thing, this bush that is on fire but is not burning up, and hear a voice come from the flames and from the bush that says, take off your shoes because the place on which you stand is holy ground. Saul, better known as Paul, who is on his way to Damascus and is knocked to the ground by a blinding light and hears this voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Those dramatic stories of call and response. I'll have to admit my experience is different. I really see most of my burning bushes in the rearview mirror. It's after it has passed, and I'm reflecting and going, ah, that's what that was. That was that presence. That was that call. That was my opportunity to respond. There's not a lot of drama in this story from Matthew either. There's no booming voices, no blinding lights, no pyrotechnics. We really just see Jesus walking along the lake shore. And Jesus was walking along the shore and he sees two brothers, Simon, who we'll later know as Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they're working. They're fishermen. They're fishing. They're casting their nets into the sea. They're trying to make a catch. They're just doing what they do, earning their keep, making their living, just having an ordinary day. Jesus finds two brothers who are working, and he calls to them to do what they already know how to do, to fish. Follow me, and I'll teach you to fish for people. I think we get this mistaken idea that being called is about somehow being made into something else, that you have to be broken down and built back up into something new. But in my experience, call is more about taking what you already know, what you already do, the gifts that you already have, the experiences that you've already shared, and putting that towards some new purpose. I've always had a special appreciation for middle school teachers. In one congregation I served in Georgia, there was a woman in that congregation that I was blessed to be able to ordain as an elder in that congregation. And she had taught middle school for her 30-year teaching career. And I had counseled a few Cairo camps. So I have a special appreciation for middle school teachers. And I was talking with her one day and I said, wow, I just don't know how you could do it, teaching middle schoolers for all those years. And she said, I love those kids, and I can't imagine doing anything else. That's a call. I can't imagine doing anything else. Jesus walks a little further down the lake shore. He sees two more brothers, James and John, and they're also fishermen, but they've finished the work of fishing, of casting their nets. They're with their father Zebedee in the boat, and they're about the work of mending the nets and cleaning the nets. They're doing that maintenance work that ensures they're going to be able to go back out tomorrow and continue to fish. See, if you use nets, you're going to have to mend nets. If you fish, whether for fish or for people, you're going to have to do some maintenance work. You're going to have to do some mending, some repairing, some cleaning to make sure that we're able to go out again tomorrow and fish some more. See, this message that Jesus had that the realm and reign of God had come near, it's going to cause some strain. The nets of relationship are going to have to be cleaned and mended and repaired. When we're about our work, about our ministry, when we're doing our own fishing for people, that message of the realm and reign of God come near will create a strain. And we too have to be about that business of mending. And so Jesus sees these two fishermen about that work of mending, about sustaining the work that they do, and he calls to them and says, "Follow me." All four, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they were just tending to their daily work when Jesus came along and called to them, and they responded. The call was simple. Jesus didn't offer them a job. He asked them to follow him, to join him in spreading the good news that the realm and reign of God had come near, that the Spirit of God was dwelling among the people of God. And if there's any drama in this story, it's summed up in one word: immediately. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left their nets and their father Zebedee in the boat and followed him. They brought their gifts and skills. They brought their experience, their knowledge, and they followed Jesus. They didn't need to be reshaped or reformed. They followed Jesus just as they were. They brought what they had and followed Jesus. You see, we each bring gifts and skills. Regardless of our age, we bring life experience. We bring knowledge. We bring the things that we've learned. There are things that we already do well. There are things that already make our hearts sing. And someday, we will just be doing what we do. We'll be putting those gifts and skills to use. We'll be having just an ordinary day when Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me, and I'll teach you to write, to teach, to build, to learn, to share, to care, to fish for people." And somehow, we'll respond. I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere, listening for my name. I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening for my name.